Career pivots can be influenced by so many factors. They may be opportunistic, often planned, but other times downright needed. So in today's episode, we'll hear the career journey of Dr. Ioana Popper, who had reached the point of burnout twice in her career and is now teaching others how to navigate their way through the distress and find renewal. I know you're going to be inspired. Are you a health professional facing a crossroads in your career but feeling unsure of which direction to go in or what next steps to take? Are you tired of working hard and not seeing results in terms of career growth? Do you long to build purpose into your work but feel stuck as you don't have a clear focus, are unsure how to package your value, or are uncertain what professional development opportunities you may need to carve out a new career path? Hi, I'm Dr. Diane, boy mom, immigrant, visionary, and career pivot strategist, and I'm here to help you find career clarity, identify and leverage your value, and clarify the steps you need to take so that you can confidently transition into the next phase of your career, scale your professional impact, and find greater fulfillment. If this is music to your ears, pull up a chair and let's chat. Today we chat to the amazing Dr. Ioana, who lives and speaks what I talk about on this podcast. That is, finding purpose in your professional life and using your giftings to make a unique impact in this world. Dr. Ioana trained as a physician and specialized in psychiatry, but after several career pivots, she is now a certified life and leadership coach. She's also an educator and spiritual care provider, having finished a theological degree. So today we have an awesome guest who delivers a unique blend of psychology, science, and spiritual care through her training course and her podcast. So interestingly enough, Dr. Ioana is also a podcast host. She's the co-founder of Team for the Soul and hosts the Thriving in Christ podcast. So welcome, Dr. Ioana, and thank you for taking the time to be on this podcast today.
Thank you so much for being here. It's such a joy to know you, and I love your work. So thank you.
Awesome. So I've painted quite an interesting picture of your background. To kick off this interview, can you share with us first your experience in clinical practice and the reasons you decided to leave mainstream healthcare as a psychiatrist?
Yes, well, this is such a great question. I grew up in Romania, and this is where I got trained and got my medical degree. In Romania, we start really young, right after high school. We have kind of a combination of college and medical school combined. So medical school is 6 years. So I graduated from medical school, and then I trained as a psychiatrist here in the United States. And what I was really struck is that how much psychiatry nowadays is geared towards dealing with the biology, which I think it's wonderful. I mean, I think psychiatric medications are very, very helpful. I've seen literally miracles with the way medications can balance the neurotransmitters and the body, and it's just lovely. In the same time, though, the psychiatry that I was drawn to was, you know, reading in high school early on about Freud and Jung and psychoanalysis and therapy and just engaging the mind, the soul, and just answering and asking very interesting questions. So as psychiatry has moved, especially in the United States, more and more towards the biological perspective for many reasons, I found that I was practicing and focusing mainly on the, as I said, on the biological perspectives, and I felt like something was missing for me. And with that, I also had a sense of my vocation was not aligned internally, and I had also a sense of burnout. I think there's a lot of pressure now for physicians, especially, as I said, in the United States, in terms of performing and dealing with insurance and malpractices. I mean, there's a lot of pressures that are were not necessarily present with me growing up in Romania. You know, those are not necessarily mainstream concerns in other countries, although by now probably they are. So it was a bit of a misalignment and a sense of burnout, you know, having
Right.
to just go, 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 go and perform in certain ways. And it felt like I was missing the soul. I was missing the higher purpose. And I think the other element to this nowadays, even in mental health and psychiatry, professionals talk about spirituality, but that was not the case 20, 30 years when I trained. It was quite clear that we leave that out. So it felt incomplete and it felt not aligned for me.
That's amazing. I love that you use the word alignment because I speak about that quite a bit as well in my podcasts. And you want to talk a little bit more about why it's important for professionals to kind of do that introspection and align their professional endeavors with sort of the soul factors.
That's a great question. Well, I mean, if we think about from a larger perspective, I just gonna bring a backstory. Although I was baptized as a Christian, I did not grow up as a Christian. I grew up in communist Romania, so it was pretty atheist, pretty scientific driven. So to me, was a sense of, you know, you just deal with life and just do the best you can, until I had this experience hearing a priest on a TV show and saying, "Well, if you're a Christian and you hear everything about Christianity, it's great. But if you're not, you might actually be turned off by Christianity and by God. But what if we just pause and think, well, what if God truly exists? What would that mean for your life?" It's a longer story that I've shared in other places, but that got me ponder, like, okay, so if God doesn't exist, it's okay. I mean, I'm just gonna go on and do my whatever I want in life. But if God does exist, don't I wanna know God and get curious? So the sense of the ultimate reality, right? So the sense of what am I here for in this world, it was really awakened to me. I was in my 20s. I didn't graduate back then in medical school. So I prayed to God, which I did not know. And I just, you know, the priest said, you know, just go with our Father. Our Father, if you're in heaven. I don't believe you're in heaven, but if you are, hallowed be thy name. I'm like, you know what? I can do that.
Right.
You just go into your room, close the door, and just pray really authentically. So that's what I said. I said, God, I don't believe you exist, but if you do exist, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. I don't believe there's a kingdom, but if there is one, thy
Wow.
will be done. And I was just so curious. Well, what if there is a God of the universe, this higher consciousness that can hear me? And lo and behold, within a few days, I had several experiences. There was like, oh my goodness, God exists. And it was a sense of deep connection with the living God. So
Wow.
that was kind of smack in my early years, right, in medical school. So it brought me to this realization that life is not just about, you know, many times in mental health and health in general, we think of feeling well and longevity and everything going perfectly and smoothly. But healing from a Christian perspective has more to do with the eternity. We are born for eternity and living with God. So that brought me to see the world in a different way. And realizing that it's not enough to just take care of my body or help my patients with my emotion or the emotions or thoughts. There is a bigger view, and I've been on a mission how to help people get curious about God, get curious about the reality. And if I, as an atheist, you know, I encountered the living God, I know it's possible. So, and then the other piece to this is that through my psychological trainings, I know that several psychological methodologies nowadays, they talk about the true self,
Yes.
which It's pointing to something outside of us, which has qualities that are already inherited in us. And to me, it's like, oh, yeah, those are the fruits of the spirit, you know, the living
Wow.
God in us. So there's that trust that living God is working through everyone. So my joy and job, so to speak, and vocation is to help other and guide through encountering the living God so that they will know and fulfill their mission. So that's why my journey took me from medical training, psychiatry to coaching and also spiritual care, because I was always so curious, how does this work? How do I integrate and how do I guide others that way?
Right.
So alignment, it's the ultimate purpose, alignment with God, right? And our mission.
Oh, I love that. And thank you for sharing your personal story, about how that encounter as a 20-something year old medical student has now shaped where you are in your life, and what you do within your vocation. Given the training and experiences you've had, you're now imparting that to others. But I'm sure when you faced sort of that point in your life where you were considering leaving, practicing medicine, that there were some fears and resistances, internal battles, or perhaps even external battles, resistances from others that you've trained for so many years. You're the specialist. Why do you want to leave practice? You've got this awesome career. How did you navigate the sort of those internal and external challenges?
Yeah, you just hit it right on the nail. It has been a journey. It probably took me several years to gain some clarity. I think there was an inkling inside that I needed something different. And actually, my first departure from psychiatry was to become an educator. I taught in high school and middle school and then in college. So that was to leave psychiatry for that. I never knew I'm going to come back. See, I went back to psychiatry. I'm still
Right.
practicing. I do therapy, small private practice. But the idea was that at that time, I had exactly the same questions, like, how can I give up my years of practice? How do I? I'm helping people. I mean, people come to me and say, what an amazing doctor I am, how much I'm helping them. How isn't this God's purpose? How do I know God's purpose? How do I
Right.
know if I'm going to choose something different? Do I give away a gift? I mean, am I burying God's gift? You know,
Right.
those things were swirling in my mind. And in the same time, I was longing for something different. This longing, I homeschooled my kids for a year and I absolutely loved it. We moved for a few times and it worked for a year that instead of bringing them to a school and then had to move again, you know, homeschooling would just landed really well for us. I just absolutely love teaching. And I thought, how do I solve this? Like it was going back and forth, as I said, for several years. Now, a very interesting book that actually was brought to my memory just a couple of days ago was a Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, I believe that's his name. I read it back then for a long time and just ponder on it. But I think my pivotal moment was when, and I'll talk about the fears, internal and external, that really fleshed out in a moment. I had this realization, like, how do I know God's will, my will? I have no idea. So I just had this moment praying and I fast forward and I said, okay, so I'm imagine talking with God. Okay, I'm fast forwarding, I'm at the end of life, I'm dead, and I'm facing God. And God is asking me, so Ioana, what did you do in your life? And I was like, oh God, I was a psychiatrist. I know I helped lots of people, but I was kind of unhappy. And I always wanted to teach and wanted to try to teach in high school and middle school. And I just had this clarity in the center by being. And it's like, so God's saying, so Ioana, why didn't you? And
Wow.
all of a sudden, all the fear is kind of flashed. Well, let me see. So, because everyone is saying that's a stupid idea, because I've trained so many years and I'm wasting. Because my family is kind of against it, because I'm going to lose money
Right.
and I'm not going to have my prestige and my place. And I'm like, and all of the all of a sudden, all of these were like scales falling off my eyes. So like, really? God is really gonna take that as good answers? And I'm like, no, it doesn't matter. Who cares that I'm not gonna have the prestige or have the same amount of money? And this was just
Right.
longing and calling. And when I realized, you know what? I'm gonna try it. I only have one life. And all of a sudden, I had this surge of joy, like an excitement, like, oh. And here's the interesting thing. Once I had clarity, with my clarity inside, when I faced my family and I just told them that this is my clarity, everyone was like, okay. Like
Oh,
all the
wow.
discussions before were like, no, bad idea. But that's because I was not clear. Once I
Yes.
was clear, now, mind you, still people told me it's a bad idea. Still, I have people that said, are you leaving your being a doctor to just become a kindergarten teacher? I'm like, you know, putting down teaching, like, okay, teaching is not something in an
It's a
eye, you
noble
know,
profession.
it's very honorable. Anyway, but I was clear and I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna try. And it was awesome.
That's amazing. Oh, I love that you were able to shake off the resistances, your own resistances, and the reasons you were building up in your mind as to why this possibly was a bad idea or not going to work. And then just braving it and, approaching your family who then supported your decision to
Yes.
navigate this new path, right? And I love that purpose-driven life. I've read the book as well. And I love what you said when you said, I've only got one life to live, because that's also a philosophy by which I use to guide some of my decisions in life and overcome some of my insecurities about should I do this? One of the books I read a couple of years ago as well that talks to that is Live Full, Die Empty, which kind of, is interesting. You mentioned your conversation with God at the end of your life, and I've often thought about that. And maybe this is a challenge to the audience, is try and picture yourself at the end of your life. And when you look back, what would you have done differently? What were the things you really wanted to pursue or do that you didn't because of, fear of people's judgment, criticism, fear of failure, and all these things that hold us back from pursuing our higher calling. So yeah, I can totally resonate with your story.
Yes. And that sense of the ultimate reality. And, you know, it doesn't matter in a certain sense. Of course, I'm Christian and I serve Christians, but I've worked with non-Christians for many decades. And I would say it's really the sense of the ultimate reality. Like, with that in mind, like you said, what is it that would I would not regret at the end. And interestingly, my husband, who's also a co-founder at Team for the Soul, he's a chaplain. So he's been working in hospitals for years and years and years. And he deals with people that hear all of a sudden about acute diseases or chronic, or they might hear that they might have just a few months to live or just a few days sometimes. And what he said that really shaped his perspective. So he always has this end of life perspective in mind. He said, no one at the end of their life. So this is him talking after conversing with thousands and thousands of people right at the end of life. No one talks about their prestige. No one talks about their money. No one cares about what they accomplished in life. What they always talk about is their relationships. And what if, are they really remembered by others and their families and their friends? It's always been touched by that all of a sudden that perspective shifts completely. And things like fears of, yeah, what would people say or how they judge me or this or that, it becomes irrelevant. So that also can free us up thinking of making, you know, bold decisions in life. Like, yeah, we might feel like we're losing something, but are we really?
Right. And will you regret not doing it at the end of your life? The thing that is sort of
Yes.
tugging at your heart, tugging on the inside of you.
Exactly.
Through Team for the Soul, you've made it your mission alongside your husband to help individuals daily regenerate, prevent burnout, and transform towards that higher potential we've been talking about. And this is especially pertinent for health professionals, many of whom battle burnout, depression, professional discontent, and really don't know how to navigate a way out of that situation. So can you tell us why this work, I think you've touched in part why this work is so important to you, but what advice would you then give to health professionals who find themselves in these spaces?
I mean, I burned out twice. So for me, it became clear that it's happening. But I think what really brought me to create all the programming and partner with my husband is that I found when I burn out and when I need a direction about my vocation, I did not encounter qualified advice. When I mean by qualified advice, I mean advice that could be blended between the psychological methodologies. You know, I might get suggestions or guidance from wonderful spiritual leaders, but they do not have the psychological background and all the nuances that different psychological methodologies mean. Or I might get psychological insights and guidance from, let's say, therapists or coaches, but they were not trained in the nuances of the medical field and the way God created our body and a nervous system. Or, you know, might get insights from the, and also the healthcare professionals. As healthcare professionals, we really face unprecedented pressures that no one can really grasp unless you're in the middle of it, in the thick of it.
Right.
It's so hard to explain. Like people that are not in healthcare, they're like, oh, yeah, we get it. No, it's like, no, it's so unique. It's so unique. And I'm sure people can talk about all their professions. It's very unique. But the pressures that healthcare workers have and from all levels is that you want to give, you want to help, you want to support, and there's so much suffering and there's so much knowledge to keep up with it and so many pressures from life-threatening circumstances to economic pressures to you name it. So time commitments. Anyway, so I didn't find a combination that could integrate all of it. So, you know, that saying, I can't remember whose quote is this, but it's an important quote, you know, be the change that you want to see in the world. I had to piece together and put all those things together. And it became my mission to integrate because I seen it. There's not a lot of integrative help to help with burnout, especially for givers, especially for people who are oriented to give to others.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of programs out there for self-care, including spirituality or Christianity, but to actually help to develop a blueprint that it's flexible enough. If someone has time to do the self-care, if they don't have time to be able to, like accordion style, to be able to adjust it to just a few minutes.
Yeah.
But also holistically, body, mind, meaning thoughts, emotions, meaning heart. That's how I summarize it. And soul or spirit. So integrating all that four times a day, I haven't found lots of resources. There's an interesting book as a healthcare practitioner. And I appreciate that if you're listening, it's called The Resilient Practitioner. It's been a study done and a book written by Dr. Thomas Scovholt. I actually interviewed him on my podcast.
Oh,
it's just
interesting.
And Michelle Trotter Matheson. I used to teach self-care out of that book. It talks about the different stages of self-care and how to think through that. So I use some of their research in my training and embody that with and mix that with also scientific knowledge and also the medical knowledge and also the spiritual and Christian faith. But I think it's so important to have resources and have ways to do that in a way that is not prescriptive, like, oh yeah, just tell me to do 1 hour exercise and then another hour of this or meditation or whatever. Like, who has time? You know
Right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
We need that flexibility. So that is driven my mission because I know how essential it is, and my heart goes out when people change their profession when actually they're meant for that profession. Okay, for
Yes.
me, switching was part of my journey, but I went back to psychiatry. You know what I mean? Like, would I have had help before? Would that have informed my decisions? Maybe I didn't have to leave psychiatry. You know what I mean? It's hard to tell, obviously, after the fact. In hindsight, everything's 2020 vision, 2020. But my heart goes out when people leave a profession just because it's actually a burnout, that it's undiscovered, and it's a missing of alignment, where it could actually be prevented and new solutions be envisioned.
I love that. Actually, the other day I was having a conversation with Janelle Taylor, who does psychotherapy work, and what she had said to me on the podcast interview that I had with her is that, when you're considering career change, make sure that you're not running away from something. You need to be running toward something. And this is in reference to what you just said. So many times people leave, whether it's clinical practice or some other position that they have, because they're running away from work environments that are toxic or frustrating, or, and yet they are excellent in that role, whether it's as a clinician, as a healthcare manager, whatever it is. But they're running away from a situation and they're leaving their purpose. So I think, to remind our audience that sometimes it doesn't mean leaving your clinical role, but finding how we can use the best of ourselves and nurture the environment around us to make us thrive so that we don't reach the point of burnout.
Exactly. So running away, and I would add to that another big reason is burnout, which doesn't come with bells and whistles. It feels just depleted. There's no more joy. So that can also be misunderstood as, oh, I lost my
That passion for the
energy and the
profession or whatever.
passion, where it actually is burnout and maybe just needs to be find more creative solutions. But there is no space for creative solutions because there's no bandwidth, there's no energetic bandwidth because of chronic stress.
I'm so glad this topic of taking care of healthcare professionals, mind, body, soul, spirit, is now in the fore, because I used to always say, I used to look at, medical doctors back in South Africa who typically, if they worked in a public hospital, their regular shift was 36 hours. And it's just inconceivable that you expect a person to be able to function at their peak efficiently for so many hours, in a day, especially when they're making critical life or death decisions. And we expect them to be superhuman somehow. They're doctors, they can survive. And I always ask, who's caring for the carers? Because you pour out so much of yourself to your job, to your patients. You're dealing with loss, you're dealing with family emotions when, their loved ones are at the point of death. And all of that eventually caves in if you don't take care of the soul, as you say. So I love the work that you do, Dr. Ioana. And I'm so glad you've come full circle, that you're using your psychiatry and your spirituality to really serve people in this area, particularly health professionals, because that's close to my heart. And if there's one piece of advice you would give someone who finds themselves in the place, sort of they're in a blur, they don't know whether they're unhappy with where they're at, whether they're not in alignment, whether they should make a change, what would you say is the one take home point of advice that is critical for them to consider at that stage?
I think taking time to ponder, taking time to have conversations in their inner soul with God, if they believe in God, with, and also having a support team, I think it's essential. So on one hand, having the space to do reflection on their lives, and in the same time, finding some trusted people, mentors, coaches, therapists, counselors, doctors, whatever it's in their universe, so to speak, in such a way that they could consider different alternatives. Someone who is not necessarily doesn't have a bone in the decision, so to speak, right? You want someone who's neutral that could be almost like a mirror
Objective.
and help a bit, right, with the decisions and kind of think through the consequences. I had someone who was I talked with was one of the priests that the church I was going to, and he said, yeah, God doesn't matter what you do in terms of your profession from God's perspective, but it's important whatever you do is to consider the consequences. If you're going to change and you're going to have less money, would this how is this impacting your family? How is this impacting your kids? Will it be enough? So that helped me to also negotiate. That helped me to think through. I was able to wait. I was able to interview several places. And I said, well, maybe it's, you know what I mean? So taking the time, learning more about the topic, either through reading or taking a course. For example, in the Renewal in Action course, I start with just looking at life in general, like what are your goals? What are your values? And there's many resources out there like that, like spending time to ponder on what's important and then have a team, at least the one person in your team that can support and can help you brainstorm without feeling like you have to be rushed. Of course, there are situations where maybe a workplace is abusive or there's health concerns and the decisions need to be made fast. But if that's not the case, it's important to think and then think through different options and different consequences and then take some steps and wait for, look at the different options. So that's why my process took about 2, 3 years, because I'm not saying everyone should take 2, 3 years to do this, but it helped me to really consider. So when I did make the change, it felt good. And I'm going to just share a quick story. I was interviewing at a school, so I wanted to pursue education, and I interviewed at a school where actually my kids were enrolled. And they offered me a part-time job. Well, that did not really work for the financial reason.
Of course.
So I had clarity. I'm like, okay, no, I need to work full-time in order to make this work. So that clarity helped me. So I prayed to God and I said, God, I really want to take this job, but it doesn't work financially. I can see from my limited mind, God, I see that in order for this to work, I need a full-time job. Or if not, I need something else to supplement. And I said, but God, I love this school. I would love to teach here, but not my will be done, but yours. I used the Gethsemane prayer, that Christ had. And lo and behold, they called me next day. And they said they had a board meeting and they were praying during the board meeting. Probably it was in the same time. And they said, you know what? We decided we are going to open another class. So we're going to be able to offer you full time. Would you like that? And I'm like,
Oh my
I
goodness.
knew. I knew, right? Okay, this is God. I had this full confidence. I thought about it and I see it how the door opened. So it was clarity and was peace. So it's moved really beautifully. So that's the kind of the advice. If it's possible to take time to really digest and process, talk with other people and look for opportunities, be active. Don't wait until the last minute. I've interviewed for new psychiatry positions all the time because you never know what's going to happen. So proactive that way.
I love that. I love the clarity and peace. And some advice I've often given to, people I'm counseling or at sort of transitional phases in their lives is follow the peace, because it's always worked for me. The moment I feel uneasy, I know that's the wrong decision or the timing is not right. So it's so important to only move when things are aligned, I mean, on a practical level, so that you're not moving and then find yourself in a situation that creates more anxiety, which is really right. What you're trying to avoid.
Right, especially for a big decision, like changing careers, right? Yeah, I really, really like your podcast addressing this big issue. Because it is common and people don't talk about it. No one is going to talk about it on Facebook. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, yeah, I'm thinking of like, this goes in the inner conversation. It's an inner conversation. So I'm so glad that you're bringing it into the open.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Ioana. And you're so right. I mean, these are the internal battles people have. And, you know, oftentimes just too scared to put it out there for fear of backlash or will people mm-hmm. judge me. But it's important that we discuss these things because they, you know, so many of us encounter them in our lives. And thank you so much for the, you know, the advice, the very valuable advice and sharing your own insights and experiences, which hopefully others can learn from today and take some of what you've said and apply it to their situations. So if you're listening today and you loved what Dr. Ioana said, you can go to Team for the Soul website or listen to Thriving in Christ podcasts on Apple Podcasts and hear more about what she has to offer through the work that she does. And I trust that that blesses you and you find your peace and your clarity. So thank you very much, Dr. Ioana. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on this podcast.
Thank you so much, Dr. Diane. Such a joy.
Wonderful. And that's a wrap for today. If you found value in today's episode, do share it with a friend who you think may need to hear this. And if this episode inspired you, would you be so kind as to head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review for the show? I'd love to hear how our content is helping you on your professional development journey, and your review will also help others discover and benefit from this podcast. Looking forward to hearing more? Then meet me back here again next time for another episode of Life Beyond Clinical Practice. Goodbye.